Welcome to the HR Locker podcast, where we bring you conversations with experts in their field. To highlight International Women's Day, we were delighted to have Caroline O'Driscoll, partner with Deloitte and co-founder of iWish, as our most recent guest. In this podcast, we had an amazing conversation about women in leadership, the importance of gender diversity in teams, and how to increase female representation in the more male-dominated roles. Throughout her own career, Caroline had recognised a leaky pipeline of young women coming up the ranks in high-ranking jobs. This led her to become one of the founding members of the iWish community, an initiative aimed at motivating teenage girls to embark on STEM careers. Throughout the podcast, Caroline shares the critical challenges and opportunities in increasing female representation in STEM fields, which in turn feeds into creating more gender diverse teams and organizations. She emphasizes the significance of mentorship, the impact of role models, and the essential role that education plays in those formative years. She discusses some of the most recent initiatives that she has been involved in, particularly the 180 Days to Make a Difference mentorship program, which underscores the commitment to empowering the next generation of female leaders. This podcast episode offers an in-depth look into Caroline O'Driscoll's professional journey and her influential role in promoting diversity and inclusion within the STEM landscape. Her insights provide valuable perspectives on creating a supportive environment for women in technology and related fields. We really hope you enjoy.
So welcome to today's podcast. My name is Christelle Rin. I'm the Chief Operating Officer here at HR Locker. And today I'm delighted to have Caroline O'Driscoll with us. So Caroline, thank you so much for taking time out of your very, very busy day.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
So Caroline, I suppose before we start, I suppose you want to give us a brief intro in, I suppose, where you've come from and maybe share your journey around how you've come to be where you are.
Yeah, so I suppose I started off life with UCC a long time ago now, and studied law at university, which was fantastic at the time. And I entered into the big four accountancy world at the age of 20. And that was a great experience and led me eventually to Deloitte, where I'm an international tax partner now. And I've been here for 5 years. But 10 years ago, probably 12 years ago now, I was involved in a group called IT at Cork, which was a networking group, I suppose, for the technology sector. I eventually became chairperson of the organization. And I remember sitting at a table and, you know, talking about, you know, some of the challenges that the tech sector were facing at the time. Was all about talent and how do you attract talent and how do we get more of that talent into Ireland and into our companies. And sort of looking around the room saying, well, where are all the women? Is this not part of the issue? And did a bit of research on it. And, you know, I think what became pretty obvious was that the pipeline was leaky. And myself and my co-founder of iWish, Gillian Keating, decided to do something about it, and Ruth Buckley as well. And we set up a foundation called iWish, focused on getting girls into STEM and to pursue STEM careers. So we set that up 10 years ago. So I suppose that's the journey that led to iWish and the work we do today with that.
One of the things I love about the programme, Caroline, is that I suppose I've spoken a couple of times about this in regards to DE&I, that I think it's great what companies do, and I think the company initiatives are fantastic. But sometimes we miss the bit before that. It actually, that has to happen, like you said, in that pipeline of the educational side of things, because the stuff that companies are doing supports people who are able to navigate their way through the education system, navigate their way through the college system or university, whichever way people have gone. But I suppose, how do you think that the likes of our current educational system, do you think there's gaps in there just around the STEM side of things with girls? What do you think people should be actually focusing on in regards to those kind of areas?
Yeah, and your point is well made. And I think that was part of the catalyst of iWish actually at the time, was kind of, you know, we had focused a lot on industry and business to solve the problem, but actually that pipeline was leaky. And actually, when you looked at the higher education stats in the 10 years prior to setting up iWish, there had been no change in female participation in STEM at university, not a single percentage in 10 years. So obviously something was broken. And that brings you back then into the school system and brings you back into, well, why aren't girls pursuing STEM subjects to the same rate that boys are? And it's very nuanced. You know, very early on with IWISH, we decided to survey the girls who attend IWISH. It's the largest in Ireland, we believe the largest in Europe, and it's about girls and their attitudes to STEM. And it's so rich and it's such a gift because it's the gift of girls' voices. And, you know, that's very, very powerful. And I think there's a number of things that have emerged during the years. I would say, firstly, an information gap. 64% of girls saying they don't know enough about college courses, 67% saying they don't know enough about careers. So what we need to do is help schools get that information to bridge the gap between school and college and the workforce. And industry has a role there in terms of informing schools what it's like to work in STEM, and particularly through role models. The second one is around what I would now call systemic bias in our education system. So if a girl attends a girls only school, 68% of those girls are offered a subject in STEM other than maths or science. But in a mixed school environment, that goes up to 87%. So boys, as a matter of fact, have more access to a wider range of subject choices. And, you know, that sends a message to girls, right, in terms of not having the same access to subjects in STEM as boys. And that, quite frankly, for me, is unacceptable. But it's quite nuanced, because we would see in our survey that a girl in a mixed school is more likely to say that STEM is more suited to boys, which is a different form of bias. That's more societal bias around the roles of men and women in society. So I think what's become very clear over the years is that this is a whole of society issue, and we need to come away from, you know, it's not blaming any one part of it. It's all of us. It is the school system, it's the home, and it is the workplace. And I think we need to work at it with all of those lenses, I suppose, if that makes sense.
I love the way you spoke about role models, and I do think that, you know, just as humans, we a lot of the time seek for a role model and see that is that the journey that we want to go on. And my 15-year-old son, you know, he's on the journey. He wants to be an engineer. That's all he can see. And a lot of that would come from my father's an engineer, and that's what he wants to be. That's the role model. He's seen him travel all over the world, and that's kind of put him on that path. And even in his parent-teacher meeting, there was no query about, you know, he's doing the engineering subjects, he's doing the STEM subjects. It's been focused on that side of things. And it's just the norm. There's never been any question of whether he's able to do it or whether that's a boy subject or a girl subject. It's interesting to me to see, just in regards to, that's what I love about the IWISH Foundation, is that it's the providing of the role models to girls to say that if that's what you want to do, you can do it. Mm-hmm. But the other bit is saying is that, and there's all these weird and wonderful things that you've never thought about before in regards to different college courses or jobs or careers. I love when I'm in recruiting people, Caroline, and I ask them backgrounds, and you hear jobs they're doing and you never even realize it was a job.
Yeah.
So I think there's a big gap there, I think, for girls just to kind of focus on that there's a whole world out there that you don't know about.
Yes, and I think that's part of what we do at IWISH. Actually, more than half of girls would say that role models would make a difference in terms of them choosing STEM careers. I remember at the first IWISH event, actually, there was a girl, Emma from Bandon, and we caught this on camera, actually, and she said, when we look up, it is usually men we see. And that just shows you that power of role models. And part of IWISH is finding those women in a variety of jobs across STEM. I mean, we've chief listening officers to biomedical engineers, a whole range and everything in between. We had an astronaut this year, and really to get across that sense of, you know, what it's like to actually work in STEM. And it's also maybe, you know, looking at, you know, what girls are looking for in a career. They would say to us they want the opportunity to travel. They want the opportunity to help solve world problems, right? And there are two things that are important to girls, but they're not necessarily seeing that relationship to STEM. So we ask our speakers at IWISH to think about that and to talk about that, because actually, I think when I reflect on the problems society is facing, you know, particularly around, you know, the emergence of AI, what that means about fake news. I mean, there's 3 billion people in the world about to go into elections. That's half the world's population in the next 12 to 18 months. And we've got this you know, on the internet, social media, you know, misinformation, disinformation, will that inform how people think and vote? And the answer to a lot of that will be how we develop technologies around that to counter it. You think about climate damage. You know, we're five times more likely to have an extreme weather event than we were 50 years ago. Climate damage is costing the world $16 million every single hour. And actually, again, when you think about how do we solve for that, STEM is going to be a huge part of it. So getting that story across to girls to say, you know, these are the problems the world is facing. STEM is going to have a huge part in that. And we want you to engage with it. 75% of the fastest growing careers in the world require a background in STEM. So actually, when I think about, you know, the economies of tomorrow and girls' places in that, my fundamental worry actually is if they don't participate in it, what will they do? And that's not to say that STEM is everything, but it's a huge part of the direction of travel of the world and the jobs of tomorrow. So I think it's absolutely critical that we get this right and get girls involved and immersed in STEM at a young age.
Yeah, and you know what, Caroline, you said, which really resonates with me, is that previously we would have thought of, oh, you know, you want to be a helper, you know what, you should be a nurse or a teacher. That's not it. There's so much more you can do. Like you said, if you really want to look at, you know, the climate change or AI, or if you're very interested in community based signs of things, there's loads. There isn't just those kind of helper roles. There is a lot of things you can do around the STEM side. And that just comes back to education. What I'm fascinated about, Caroline, is that, what a stat to say that you've 63,000 girls that have participated in the program. I mean, that's unbelievable. What do you think, I suppose, things that you've observed, both in terms of kind of personal growth and career paths for these young women? I mean, it's quite amazing that it's a really big number.
Yeah, and it's I suppose, you know, I would say that I wish probably has evolved far beyond we ever imagined. I don't think we ever thought we'd have, you know, north of 60,000 girls participating. Yeah. And what's been lovely actually to reflect on over the years is the butterfly effect of iWish. We now have young women volunteering at iWish who once went to iWish themselves, and, you know, they were inspired and now they're the ones doing the inspiring. So iWish has come kind of full circle in that respect. And at a personal level, it's emotional when you hear those stories. It's extremely rewarding. It's very, very humbling. And, you know, when I look back on the 10 years, it's been tough yards, right? And there's been a lot of sacrifices, but it's been a great privilege. And what's lovely to see is those young women, you know, taking on the mantle, I would say. They're now in the workforce and they're spreading the iWish message, and they're getting involved in school programs. They're getting their companies involved in iWish. So it's just had this massive community impact, which has been great. But the themes have been pretty consistent over the years. But glad to say that things are improving. You know, I spoke earlier that, you know, the college or university statistics of female participation in STEM hadn't moved in 10 years. It's now gone from 29% to 36%. And now we're just one part of that ecosystem. But I think we've played a role when you've had over 60,000 girls involved in that. We can see that their attitudes are improving towards STEM. So say 10 years ago, 53% of girls wanted to know more about STEM. That's now 84%. That's just brilliant to see. That there is kind of that has resonated, the message has landed. Today, you know, 93% of girls say they reject the notion that STEM is more suited to boys. That was 78% 10 years ago. So again, we are seeing slow improvements, but it is improving. There's actually been a 60% increase in girls doing ICT and engineering courses at university in the last 10 years. Now, it's from a small base, but you have to start somewhere, you know, and mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's been the great thing as iWish continues to evolve. And I think the survey has been brilliant for us because, like, I would say iWish is very data focused and very solution focused. And, you know, we get the data every year and it informs our events. So some of the themes I spoke about earlier on, you know, role models or purpose or I want to travel, you know, we take that and say, OK, can you talk about that when you're talking about your job and talking about your career? You know, tell the girls about that and tell them about purpose and tell them about the travel that you're doing. So we kind of push it all the time. It's not the same message. We really mm-hmm. do respond to what these young women are saying to us through their service and anecdotally.
Yeah, I love that as well, just in regards to I think we spoke about this like, offline as well, is that it's a bit of a pet peeve of mine is around that gender pay gap reporting, is that, you know, it's very easy for a company to show that their gender pay gap is excellent, but when you actually, that there isn't a gender pay gap, but when you actually look down at the jobs, sometimes we typically fall into those category of girl jobs and boy jobs. So yes, the gender pay gap may have improved, but the actual jobs that people are doing still needs to work on would be my opinion. So that's kind of your part-time thing on the side, Caroline, but your day job is in Deloitte, and you spoke about the 180 days to make a difference on an earlier call. I suppose, can you discuss how other companies can contribute to kind of creating that diverse leadership amongst not only females and women, but like just in general?
A couple of things there. So the within Deloitte, in partnership with I Wish, with both my hats on, we created a mentorship program called 180 Days to Make a Difference. And I suppose that idea there was we can see, or we're observing, that young women are not necessarily staying in STEM. So they might choose it to go into college, but they're opting out. And we just thought, what a pity. We put so much effort into, we'd say, encouraging young girls to pursue STEM, but they're not necessarily staying the course, or they're dropping out of the workforce later on. So the idea of the mentorship program was to kind of give that mentorship to young women that are now in college, and how do they, and it's sometimes it's as basic as, you know, presentation skills, CV skills, just how you are. So we pair a mentor within Deloitte with a college student, and that's fantastic. And again, that's the whole idea of paying it forward in society. And our, I would say, even with my Deloitte hat on, the mentors get as much out of it as the mentees do, and it creates that network and a cohort. So and we have that blueprint, and we're very happy to share it with companies if they're interested in getting involved, and we can help pair companies with universities in terms of establishing mentorship programs. But I see a huge amount of value in that. I think the second point, you know, you're on the gender gap report. I would say to companies, like, to be brave with this and to use your own data. What's your own data telling you about, women in your organization? And, you know, always push back if it's saying, well, you know, there's not men coming, or there's not women coming forward for promotion. Why is that? Go back down through your data and your processes to see where do things fall off. And I think just be brave to use your data to try and improve things. And I think the third thing is working with the school communities, particularly DESH, I would say. And, you know, because that's where companies can make a massive difference and influence. You know, you spoke earlier about, you know, girls, you know, they manifest in nursing or teaching. And actually, to be honest, you know, and actually we saw this in our survey, girls are telling us they don't get enough career guidance counsellor. There's been some cuts in that space as well. And I do think we need to marry industry with schools much more than we do presently. Because, you know, you or any company going in, telling your story about your business, you're bringing it to life. It's very hard for teachers to bring that to life, actually. You know, they're academically driven. You know, they haven't necessarily spent time in industry. So how do they explain these jobs? And also, particularly in technology companies, it's changing so fast. I can't keep up with the jobs, not to mind a school system. So getting involved, you know, going into a school with your female role models to just tell these kids what it is that you do. Honestly, the power of that is absolutely incredible. And we can see through our data, if a girl attends three or more extracurricular STEM events, she's more likely to choose STEM subjects to her leaving cert. So there's a direct correlation between industry engagement and a girl choosing STEM. So I think they're probably the three areas I'd call out.
Yeah, and I love that. I just think that mentorship side is so important, especially around that kind of DESH community, when maybe they don't have that kind of mentorship. And, you know, even you were saying, from both the mentor and the mentee, like being a mentor, you get so much out of it. We spoke about in terms of the education system in regards to, I suppose, that lack of career guidance, maybe even just the knowledge of kind of not knowing what kind of courses are coming down the line. Do you think that there is a government want to do that? Or do you think that it's kind of, they're just happy for, and I don't mean this is a loaded question, but should it be a government initiative, or should it be kind of company driven, do you think?
Look, in an ideal world, it would be absolutely centrally driven by government, and it requires money. You know, if you look at the systemic bias in our system, which goes back to, you know, the origins of schools in this country and girls' schools and boys' schools and mixed schools and all that comes with that. You know, they need more STEM teachers, and that you can't just magic that out of a tree. It requires funding. So I think there absolutely is a need for central funding to be able to do that. You know, I think, you know, encouraging or even mandating, which is a strong word, you know, schools to engage with STEM events. You know, personally, I think we can see the benefit of that. We can see that correlation. But, you know, to be fair, and the point I made earlier, I think industry has a role too, because this is where, you know, talent comes from. And again, with the best will in the world, you know, nobody can bring a company story to life like the company itself and the people working there. And, you know, because, as I said earlier, that the jobs are changing so quickly, really, I think that's where companies have a role to play to bring that to life. So so I do think, and I said it earlier, it's definitely a whole of society issue, but government absolutely has a role to play, and we require much more funding into our secondary and primary school system than there is already there. Absolutely.
Yeah, because even if we, I just to bring it back on kind of two things I'm thinking about from my own side of things is when I was in school, I did construction studies and technology, and the projects that we did were on a smaller scale. We did kind of to scale of houses and things like that, whereas when I was in an all-girls school, in the all-boys school down the road, they were making tables and chairs and, you know, really significant things. And we just didn't have the infrastructure in our school to do something like that. So it was kind of like girls were doing it, but they weren't really doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because the resources and the labs and the rooms weren't there. And that's a very historical issue, but it's still there, you know, I mean, but it requires funding to build new labs, to build new facilities, to have teachers who are skilled in that area. So it requires money and funding.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other story I'm thinking about is just in that, like, if I look at my eldest son, you know, he's going through this journey of you know, he's had a lovely role models. He's in a family who's promoting that. He gets to go to do his mechanical engineering course in CTYI during the summertime. And that's the journey. That's a nice, easy journey. At the moment, he's a teenager, so it's not that nice and easy, but it's we're going down that route. Whereas the my youngest son has some challenges, and every time we try to go through, I suppose it's very difficult in regards to navigate the system when you do have challenges. So I do think that as much as, and we come back full circle, as much as industry has a huge role to play, we have to get that education piece right first to be able to fix the problem afterwards, you know. So it is I do agree with you, it's a joint kind of societal issue that has to be kind of dealt with, if that makes sense. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me. I could talk to you for another half an hour, but I know you've a busy day ahead of us. Caroline, what's the best way for people to kind of look at the iWish program, or just go to the website?
Yeah, so we've a great website, lots of resources on it, including the surveys actually over the years, which can be a valuable resource for companies, you know, who are grappling with this issue. At least, you know, gives you some really good information. So it's www.iwish.ie. We've lots of programs involved, you know, throughout the year. We're just piloting now a primary school program. We have our mentorship program at Deloitte. We have a lot of internships coming up over the next number of weeks. We have our showcase event in kind of February of next year. So lots happening and throughout the year, lots of ways to get involved with us.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Caroline. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Check us out at hrlocker.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Make sure to subscribe to catch the latest episodes on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you would like to feature on a future podcast, get in touch by emailing us at marketing@hrlocker.com.